done marble.
How can you? What have the five khandhas to do with freedom? The five khandhas are the five khandhas. The chitta that is free can get rid of the five khandhas if it wants to. So the chitta that is liberated can get rid of the five khandhas. But it doesn't get rid of it because it doesn't hate it. There's no hate. And there's no greed for it. And because there's no greed for it, there's no longing for the next five khandhas. So the moment the five khandhas, you know, naturally die, that's the end. The five khandhas itself have no kilesas. There are two powers at the moment that rule the five khandhas. That's either kilesas or avicca or the Dhamma. So it's up to us to decide who is the ruler of the khandhas. So if the Dhamma, and in the case of a liberated person, it's the Dhamma that is in rule of the khandhas. It rules, it takes all the strength of the khandhas to do good. And we do all the strength of the khandhas to do bad. And as long as we have kilesas, as long as we have avicca, we will do kamma. But if avicca is gone, how can you do kamma? The builder has been destroyed, the work has been done. That's what the Lord Buddha said. There will be no new house. There will be no new five khandhas. So, simple as this. Kamma. Kamma is the one thing that always haunts us. It presents itself every moment. And we are not willing to face it. Like in Christianity, there is a nice thing I like to call upon. When the people have misfortune or bad luck, they go into the church and run and pray that Jesus take that bad luck away. Or God takes this bad luck away. Or God takes this misfortune away. But when they win in the lottery, they don't go into the church and pray. Please, Lord, take this good fortune away from me. It's only if unpleasant things are coming. We're praying that somebody is taking them away. So we cannot accept it. We are not willing to accept that this is our karma. This is the fruit or the results of our actions of the past, no matter how long it is. We just forgot. Like the one person who is a farmer and puts a seed, an apple seed in the earth and forgets completely about it. And 7 years or 8 years later, the apple tree stands there. And 7 years or seven years, you can translate as seven lifetimes. So some of the fruits are very, very fast. When you grow things, you know, some is growing very fast, some is growing very slow. So some of the karma you might reap in this life, other karmas you might reap in the next life, or in seven lives. You understand that? And after seven lives, of course, we have forgotten all about our deeds. Even after one life, we have forgotten. When we are born, we have forgotten everything. That is the nature. But if we believe in karma, and this is a must if you're going to practice, that whatever action we do, whatever word we say, whatever thought we think, will have a result. And the fruit is that what we are just reaping right now. What we are reaping, what we are presented right now at the moment, is the fruit of our past actions. Heaven and hell, karma, is a must for a person who practices, because it's the first fetter. The first fetter that binds us to this realm of rebirth, of endless rebirth. Doubt that there is heaven, doubt that there is hell, doubt that there is karma, doubt that there is results of good action, and doubt that there is results of bad action. Doubt that this is the right way, and all these views, all these wrong views, and right views. This is the first fetter. I want you to understand it very clearly. That binds us to this realm of endless rebirth. So if we do not believe, if we not really faithfully believe until we can see it ourselves that there is karma, we will never be able to enter the stream. The second fetter is fiddling with the precepts, not keeping the precepts. Today we keep the precepts, tomorrow, it's against. It's against my wishes, or it's against my desires, or I don't keep it, and the next, or after 2 or 3 weeks, you know, I have to go to the temple and take my precepts. And then the next day I forget it again. Because I want to do this and I want to do that. This is the second fetter. I really want you to understand this. Not keeping the precepts will keep us in this endless realm of rebirth. Doubt, not keeping the precepts. And the third one that keeps us there is the belief that I and the body are one and the same thing. So, if you want to enter the stream, you have to get rid of these first three fetters. I and the body is not one and the same thing. Would you say that the driver and the car is one and the same thing? So when the car goes, or when the car dies, you know the driver will die as well? No. Who is driving the body? Who is giving the commands? It's nothing else than the citta. And what is the citta? The citta is called the naktantio. That means the everlasting tourist that goes from one birth to another. The citta will never ever die. The body, you know, we have had so many cars or so many bicycles or motorcycles or whatever. They all died by now. And we replace them, one after the other. And we have replaced this body, one after the other. Exchanging it for a human body, exchanging it for an animal body, exchanging it for living without a body, or so on. Remember this when you do this. Remember this in your worldly life. Karma. What I am presented at the moment, is that what I've done in the past? Not somebody else. Be sure, make sure that you don't fall into this trap. There is no scapegoat for our misfortune. We are the only ones who are responsible for it. Just get it. Just get it, you know. And if you can't remember, you know, put it on your mirror. Whenever you look in the mirror, said, this is not me, that is not mine, doesn't belong to me. This body, today it looks nice and tomorrow it looks awful. And then we have to powder it up or whatever we're doing. Or we have to get a new hairstyle. Does the hairstyle change the citta? Does it do anything to it? put these things, you know, if you forget, and that's why one has to repeat it. People who still have kilesas are like little children. One has to tell them over and over and over and over again the same thing, doesn't it? People who have raised children, they know it. Until the one time, you know, it clicks. But until it doesn't click, one has to tell them, you know, don't do this, don't do that. Keep in line with this. Do it like this or do it like that. And they have to hear it over and over and over again. And so is it with us. We are children of the kilesas. So we have to hear it and hear it and hear it in order to remember it. To remember, yes, it was there. And 5 minutes later, we forgot already. Because the kilesas are not interested in this stuff. The kilesas are only interested in having fun. That's what their interest is. They have no interest, you know, in Dhamma. So we have to remember this. We have to remember this. That first of all, to keep the 5 precepts. Not to be glum. As I said before, they are our protection. They are not against us. They are protective. They are protective clothes that keeps us, you know, from going down into hell. The second is to face, you know, whatever is presenting at the moment. Is that result or is the fruit of my past actions? It's not the responsibility of somebody else. Even if the government comes down on you, it's your responsibility. Or somebody else comes down. Your neighbor is going to, you know, hate you or whatever. Or somebody is going to steal, rob you. It's the result of your past action. Don't forget it. If somebody stabs you, it's the result of your past action. Somebody kills you. If somebody says bad words against you, or behind your neck, or behind your back, whatever. It's a result of our past action. Don't ever forget this. And then you're on the safe side. And said, oh, well, I must have been a jerk. I don't know how often I said that to myself during the time of practice. What have you done in the past to get this? Now, then you're at a healthy state. You understand that? You don't try to find somebody who is guilty for your hate. You don't try somebody, you know, who is somebody else who is guilty for it. Karma. Is that what is presented every moment? If we remember or not. But if we care to look a little bit in our heart, we will see the tendencies that produce this karma, still lingering in this heart. And that's okay. We grab the thing by the root and chuck it out. And that it won't come back. That's how we get rid of karma. To see it, okay, this is the result. Where is it in my heart or where is it in my characteristic tendencies? Get rid of it. That's the way how to work it. And that means, you know, we have to be pretty mindful all day long. Because every moment, you know, itself presenting itself. Karma is always there. It's always present. So remember these things. Remember that these are there. That there is karma. And that we are constantly presented with the results of our karma. And that we are constantly at the present moment. And this is the only time when we can make karma, the present moment. If we know it or not, we make karma. Even if we have a good intention, the karma might be resulting in a bad karma. Because our intrinsic intention is different. We just rationalized it. So we have to be very mindful of this. See how much I care about other people? But actually I do care about myself only. And because I care only of myself, I think how much I care about others. So we do create bad karma with this. So be wary of the things you're doing. Get your intentions right for any kind of action. Get your intention right for any kind of speech. So before you open your mouth, get your heart to work. Look at the intentions. And if the intentions are not correct, shut up. Just shut up. Don't say it. Whatever other people say, let them say it. Because that is already the karma of your past actions. That's the result of your past actions, whatever people say. You can only judge what kind of jerk you have been from this. So you understand, if you want to get out of the roller coaster of life, what you have to do? You have to break down the first three fetters, keeping the precepts, not fiddling with the precepts, reducing your doubt, believing that there is heaven and hell until you really see it for yourself, believing that there are results of good action and there are results of bad action that lead to good results or to bad results, until you see it for yourself. And you will see it. If you practice, you will see it. You have to see it because everything is so obvious. We just don't care to look at. That's where the problem all lies. We don't care to look. We don't want to see it. We just want to have fun for the moment, present moment, and we don't want to see, you know, the result of our action. In normal life, we do it. When we go to a shop and buy something and it promises us to do this or to do that, and then we go home and see that this is not to our expectation, we either get angry, or if we are not that kind of person, we will never buy it again. Because it doesn't help. If we buy medicine, it doesn't help. Okay, we don't buy it again. Do it. Or do we? We don't want to waste our money, do we? But with our actions, we never care about the results. We never actually look. You know, when I want to do, and what is the result of my action? This immediate action. Why don't we look? In daily life, we do look. We do care. But in our spiritual life, and that is the most important thing, we don't care. We think it's too difficult. It's not too difficult. We just need a little bit of attention. And ask ourselves every time we want to do something or we want to say something, what will be the result of this action? Just imagine. And then if you think, you know, it will lead to a good result, then at least, you know, just get it right. Then do the action and see if it leads to a good result. And the good result is always shown at the time of doing. For instance, people who are generous, who give something, they will have a joyful heart at the time of giving. A little joyful or a lot of joyful, you know, that depends on how often we have given. So this is the result. That is the immediate result of our action. And we can use this as a judgment for our action. If we get angry, or if we get afraid, then we know this kind of action wasn't correct. Or this kind of thought, or this kind of speech. If it agitates the heart, you know, not only angry, but if it agitates the heart, that's not the right action. So leave it. Then tell yourself, I don't want to do it again. And don't even think that it is gone with the first time. We have to train ourselves long, long time before it goes. These are the habits, going against the habit. If we see one of our habits is not going to produce satisfactory results, we have to check this habit every time and tell our heart or teach our heart, this is not going to produce good results. This is agitating our heart, making us afraid, or making us worried, or making us hateful, or making us grateful. Tell your heart, see, it made me grateful, or made agitate my heart, or it agitated my heart. Tell your heart this. You have to tell it maybe like a little child, you have to tell it 100 times, or 200 times, or 1,000 times. And after the 1,000th time, it might understand. And then we let go on itself. We cannot let go. The heart can let go. The heart has the possibility of letting go. But without showing the heart the results of its own action, the heart won't let go. You can be sure of that. You can say as much, I don't want to, you know. You still want to. You still, you know, I don't want to be reborn. You can say this the rest of your life. And you will die and you will be reborn. If the heart sees, if the heart understands the agitation or the suffering or the hardship or the torment of this life, then it will let go on itself. So we have to show the heart. We have to teach the heart. Yesterday I was talking about investigation or developing wisdom. That is the way of developing wisdom. Show our heart. Tell our heart. See it, you see it, you understand. If you don't understand, you have to do it again. See it until the heart understands. Our mind has understood after the second time. But that's not enough. It cannot let go. Our brain cannot let go of the desire. The only thing that can let go is burned within the heart. So if the heart knows this is not satisfactory, the heart lets go of itself. I hope you understand the difference between the heart and the brain. Our intellectual capabilities might understand it pretty fast that this is not a good thing. But that doesn't mean that we are not going to do it. We're still going to do it. If our heart understands this is not a good thing, or this is not a healthy thing, or this is not a helpful thing, the heart will let go immediately. We don't even have to convince it. So we have to teach the heart to develop wisdom. Teach it, see it, see how you burn yourself, see how you're in anguish, see how you're agitated, see how you're burned. And we don't only do it once. We do it 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, and sometimes if it's an ingrained habit, 1,000,000 times. Until it lets go. It has to understand. The citta has to understand of its own faults. So we have to teach it that it's a fault. And that is something very different from our intellectual capabilities. Our intellectual capabilities can help, you know. Yes, I shouldn't do this. But then, you know, stay on the track and then don't do it. That's where our intellectual capabilities have a part in developing wisdom. But they are not the ones who let go. Tell an aunt to let go. Who wants to come from the roof down to the earth? You know, just tell it, let yourself fall. Can you do it? No. You just can put one step at a time. So until it comes down to the earth. So we can't let go. If you want it or not, we can't let go. We can't let go of this life. We can't let go of the next life. We can't just let go of greed and hate. We have to understand the true nature of greed and hate. We have to understand the results of our actions. That's what we have to understand. The good results of our action or the bad results of our action. Do you think that somebody who robs somebody else or stabs somebody else will have a delightful feeling in his heart? The immediate result shows off that this is a bad action. Be afraid. You know, afraid is something pleasant? I don't think so. It's very unpleasant. Being generous, giving people, you know, something, always generates an open heart. Because our heart has to be open, you know, to give. We cannot give when it's closed. So it immediately generates a pleasant feeling. In that, you know, this we can use to train our heart, to look at our own action, to judge our own action if we don't know if this is okay or not. We have the rough guidelines of the five precepts to judge. If they are not against the five precepts, then we take the fine judgment of the heart to tell us. But in order to that, we have to actually get access to our heart. We have lost the access to our heart, and that is the most difficult thing, to get the access. And we do that with practicing samadhi, practicing mindfulness, practicing awareness. Whatever I do, you know, just put a stop sign. Before I do something or before I say something, put a stop sign and ask yourself, what is my intention? And then once you have the intention and you decide, you know, yes, this should be a good result, then check it out. If it's a good result. Just don't buy into it. The kilesas or avicca are the utmost deceivers. They lie to us. Constantly lie to us. If you just look at your life and see how the things, what they tell us, yeah? If you do this or if you go to this country, then you will be happy. If you do this, then you will be happy. Do we ever check it out? No, never. We just go there, and we are either unhappy or a little bit happy. That's how they deceive us all the time. I want this, you know, and then I get happy. You know, are we happy? Are we really satisfied? No. Most of the time, 99%, you know, of the times they deceive us. But we believe them. Yes, yes, because it's me who is thinking this. I want to believe it. That's why we believe. They're just little mockingbirds behind our ears. Huh? Mocking us all the time. Making jokes, you know, and having a good laugh in the background, you know, if you fall for the lies. This is the biggest notorious lie in the whole world. It deceives us from going from one life to the next life. Yes, the next life will be better. If this life is not good, how can the next life be better? What bullshit, huh? If this moment is not good, how can the next moment be better? If you're not preparing now, right now, at this moment, you know, how can it be the next moment be better? But if you prepare now, at this moment, to get a better person, then, of course, the next time will be better. Just don't fool yourself. Don't get fooled by your avicca. It's the most powerful. You can't even imagine how powerful it is. It's the utmost deceiver. And it deceives us. And we say, yes, 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 you're right. We believe you. We believe you. Yes, when I do this, I will be very happy. You know, when I find this person, I will be very happy. When I see this person, I will be unhappy. That's why I avoid it. And we believe it. We believe it. We believe it. We believe it. See how stupid we are? All of us. No? There's no exception. As long as we are born in this life, you know, we are stupid, in this sense. We believe it. And we believe, you know, this, the next moment, you know, next month it will be better. How can it be better? Or next year it will be better. Or when we go, you know, when we have a lot of money, then it will become better. Or when we have a lot of wealth, you know, whatever. And we believe it. We never check it out. If he's right. Yes, yes, yes. You know, in this world, how many people fight for freedom? They give up their life when they're fighting for freedom. You know, all these freedom fighters. Fighting for freedom. For an outer freedom. And they give their lives. But when we have to fight for our inner freedom, we give up after 5 minutes. It's too painful. It's too boring. It's too this. It's too bad. Get the spirit of the fighter for freedom. Get it in your heart, you know, I want to fight for my freedom. It's not the freedom that I can do whatever I want. It's the inner freedom, you know, to be equanimous at everything at every time. Be completely at peace. Completely oneself. Not pulled into this string or that string, into this doubt or that doubt. Not into this worry or that worry. But always at ease. This freedom we can find. The outer freedom we might not be able to find. People have done so much. If it goes for the outer things, they do everything. They risk their lives. But when we sit for 2 hours, we think we are going to ruin our back. Or we ruin our muscles. Or we ruin the, you know, the knee joints. Huh? A freedom fighter doesn't worry about this. You know, when he gets wounded, you know, he takes care of his wound and then he goes on. He wants to achieve his goal. So what is happening to us? We are all lazy. We are lazy because we don't see the results of our action. And we believe that somebody is responsible for our bad luck. We call it luck. We don't call it, or we call it fate, you know. We don't call it karma. We should call it karma. And karma translate, you know, it's a result of our own actions. This we should translate it correctly, not fate or luck. Good luck or bad luck, it's not, you know. We should really correctly translate it as karma, results of our own actions, not the results of somebody else's actions. So we are responsible. Take, you know, get out of your childhood and get responsible for your own life. Huh. It's easy to be a child. We all remember it. Huh? We don't have to be responsible. Our parents were responsible for our actions. Until the age of 16 or 18, you know, until they could throw us into prison. But before, our parents were held responsible for us. Huh? And so it was an easy life. We could do whatever we were pleased to do. Now get out of this. Get responsible for your own life. Get responsible for your own actions. And remember, if you want to get out of the roller coaster of life, and now I sum it up again. Karma. Believing in karma. Believing in heaven and hell. Not doubting that there is a way out. That's also. This is the first fetter. That there is a way out. And the way out is the practice. It's not the belief in that the Buddha said this or the Buddha said that. It's a practice. The practice that will lead us out. Not the belief in this or that. You can believe until the rest of your life that this is like that, but it won't change it. Example, you know, you can lie on your couch and dream how wealthy you are and what you do with all your wealth, and you're happy during that dream. But when you wake up from this dream, you're as poor as you were before. It's a dream, it's a thought, it's a belief. The belief doesn't change anything. So the practice is the path out. The path of practice. And if you remember what I said yesterday, the path of practice is sila, samadhi, and panya. Developing sila, keeping the 5 precepts. That's actually the second fetter, so it fits in very well. Samadhi is concentration, mindfulness, attention, awareness, and rest. Being able to rest the mind. And panya is the checking out, you know, is the acknowledging whatever I presented at the moment, whatever I receive at the moment is the result of my past actions. So let's change my present action. And the third fetter is the toughest for most of the people. That the body is not self. Just think of it, the car and the driver. If the if the driver goes in the car but doesn't put the key into the ignition, nothing will go. If he just sleeps in the car, then he sleeps in the car. But if he puts the key in the ignition, you know, turns it around, the engine will start. And so it is it with the citta in the body. If the citta is completely quiet, and that what happens in samadhi, in deep state of samadhi, the body won't fudge a thing. It won't move around like this, scratching here, scratching there, feeling pain here, feeling pain there, hearing this or seeing this, nothing. The body is out of motion, and the senses are out of motion when the citta is at rest, when the citta sleeps. It won't fudge. People, you know, sit for samadhi in seven days, seven nights. They don't need to eat, they don't need to drink, they don't need to pee. They just sit in the same position for 7 days or seven nights. No. So remember this, you know, the citta is the driver of the body. It tells the body everything. It tells it to move, it tells it to scratch, it tells it to feed it, it tells it to to drink some water, it tells it to pee, and so on, and so on. The body doesn't know what peeing is. The citta. Get this right. Now, just to get a right idea about what is. Get the right idea. And this helps eliminating the third fetter. And when we eliminate it or undermine the first three fetters, then we actually can go and relieve ourselves and enter the stream. So, it's up to you. If you like the roller coaster of life, I don't say anything. You know, it's your life. You have to be responsible. You have to bear the responsibility. And just don't think the next life will be better. How can it be better if the present moment is not good? Can't. You just can hope, you know, that there is some good, that you had some good karma in store. But what happens if there is some bad karma in store? We never take that into account. Well, if you hope that the next life is going worse, you know, then you can be more sure of that. So don't get fooled. If Avijja wouldn't have the power, how would it be able? Just think about it. How would it be able to keep us in this realm of rebirth for millions and millions and millions of lives? You know, if you could, you know, by a click, you know, get rid of Avijja. If it has the power, you know, to keep us in this endless realm of rebirth for millions and millions or billions of lives. Kanaja Mahabodha said, when he recounted all his lives he had, and he said, if I just put the bones of all my lives over all Thailand, there wouldn't be an empty place. I think you remember if you read that talk. There wouldn't be an empty place. Now imagine, on 1 square meter, you know, how many corpses go in there. And now, on I don't know how many thousand square kilometers is Thailand. Now imagine, you know, how many lives he had gone through. And how many lives we most probably have gone through. So when is our last life? Ask yourself, when is it? Don't get fooled. Don't get fooled. If it wouldn't have this immense power, this incredible power, it wouldn't be able to keep it. Because people get sick of this life. Yeah? And they say, okay, I don't want it. You know, it's really sickening. Yeah? It's really not, you know, not to my liking. But they will be reborn and reborn and reborn. We have to do something. We have to train the heart and show the heart that this is sick. Or that this is not good, or that this is not healthy, or that this is unwholesome, or that this is wholesome. We have to train the heart. We have to show the heart. So, And with this, I come to an end. If you have any questions, then